Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we left off in the middle of a discussion. We were discussing the general topic of Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem. This was an explanation offered to support the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan that Tamidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur Niftin Tamimim. As far as the details and the explanation of all of that, we recommend going back to the Shiur starting on Daf Yud Amud Beis and Yud Aleph. We've discovered at the end of Yud Aleph Amud Beis that this issue of Tamidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur Niftin Tamimim in fact is a Machlokes Tanoim, and the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan was reflecting was the opinion of the Rabbonan. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says that those daily public sacrifices, the Tomet Shel Shachar, Tomet Shel Berabayim, that were not used by the Tzibor, they are not Niftin Tamimim, any Niftin Tamimim. The Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Shimon, as we mentioned a moment before, and they say that they are Niftin Tamimim. As far as what, according to Rabbi Shimon, happens to those Tamidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur, that will be discussed on the upper part, the upper half, toward the end of the upper half of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Before we go on in the reading of the Gemara, let's take advantage of some of our topic headings and structural notes that appear on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The nosei that we have started is entitled, and you'll notice this under the nosei heading at the lower part of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it comes out that Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem is a machloikes, havi machloikes, Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbonan. Rabbi Shimon less lay Lev Bezdin Masna. And Rabbi Shimon does not hold from that principle. The Gemara will then be seeking out, under the second heading, you'll notice Nosei Mivneh, with a diamond featured. Hatsaot, these are candidates or suggestions. Eize Shitas Rabbonan Pligi al Rabbi Shimon V'Savri, the Tamidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur Niftin Tamimim. Who is the Rabbonan that disagree with Rabbi Shimon, that say that they are redeemed even before they get a mum? In other words, and this is a point that we have discussed extensively in our previous shiurim, generally speaking, sacrifices that received kedushas haguf status, where they were sanctified for themselves to be used as a sacrifice, that's kedushas haguf. Generally speaking, you cannot redeem them unless they develop a mum, some type of bodily imperfection. Here, though, we see an exception, and that's in the case of the Tamidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibur. So according to the Rabbanan that say they can be redeemed even without a mum, based on Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem, based on that which says that they originally received their Kedushas Haguf on condition, a conditional sanctity. Where do we find Rabbonan? Who are the Rabbonan that say that? And we're trying to find a source for that comment. Up till now, we know Rabbi Yochanan has been advancing that as his thesis. But where do we see a source for that? And that's the Gemara that we see at the very bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. Rabbonan de pligi olei de Rabbi Shimon. Man Ninu. Who are these Rabbonan that disagree with Rib Shimon and they maintain that Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem is the hesber for tamidim shelo hutzrichu letzibur niftin tamimim. E nema rabbanan diktores. If you will try to suggest it's the rabbanan that we found concerning the ktores, we saw on the previous shiur, we saw that the ktores was redeemed, the incense was redeemed even without a mum, and then used to pay the temple artisans. The Gemara says shiny ktores ktores cannot serve as a precedent for the tamidim shelohutzrichu letzibur. The tamidim were animals that were to be used as public sacrifices. The ktores does not serve as a precedent. The lav bar rayahu, it's not something that can go out and graze till it gets a mum, as opposed to an animal that's a bar raya. It's something that can go out and graze, and let us in fact say that let it graze till it develops a mum, and not redeem it tomim. So if you happen to be the Rabbonin of Ktores, even though there they say there's no need for a mum, they wouldn't necessarily say the same thing by the Tamidim Shalutzuchu Litzibor, that it could be that they can be redeemed without a mum. Elo Rabbonin de Pora. Maybe it's Rabbonin of the Pora source. Where is the Pora source? Use your markings. You have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a double asterisk with an indication that this is from Yud Aleph Omid Beis. If you scroll back or you go back to the previous Omid, you'll notice the upper part of the page, also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, a double asterisk. At the end of the line, you'll see the word Pora. That's a source concerning the Pora Aduma. And in that source, we saw that it can be redeemed even if he finds a nicer one than the one that they set aside. And we see redemption there taking place without a mum. So maybe it's the Rabbonin of Pora that allow for redemption of those things that are sanctified even before they develop an imperfection. So the Gemara rejects that. Rabbonin for of Pora cannot be the precedent for Rabbon for the shita we're looking for concerning Tamidim Shalahusukul the Tzibur Niftin Tamimim, because Dilma Shani Pora too might be different. The Domeho Yikorin, since it's very expensive, so it and only it would be sanctified conditionally. But not the case. You know, sanctified conditionally, stating that it had there is a clause allowing for its redemption without a mum. But that wouldn't necessarily hold true for something that's not extremely expensive, like the tamidim, the daily sacrifice offering. By the way, the expression "shiny pora de domer yikorin" was also seen on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and if you want to find that, we've also afforded a marking to enable that to be accomplished. That's on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice an arrow, a squiggly arrow, with an indication above it, Yud Aleph Amud Beis. You'll find a parallel marking on Yud Aleph Amud Beis itself, halfway down, also on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, with an indication there, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So we're now up to the third suggestion. V'elo Rabbonon di Amrulo. Maybe it's the Rabbonon that were found in our Mishnah. And Daf Beis Amud Beis. Rashi at the very top of the page helps out and says, Elo Rabbonon di Amrulo. B'mas Nisan in our Mishnah. V'hochi Amri Lei. And it's the Rabbonon in our Mishnah that were responding and said, Hoyol v'ein kaporoson shaveh, since the atonement capacity of the different korbonas featured in the Mishnah, you have the goat offerings of Rosh Chodesh, of the holidays, of Yom Kippur, and since the type of offenses that each one offers atonement for are not the same, the less l'cho leiv bez in masna, and you, Rabbi Shimon, do not hold from conditional sanctification. Shim ova bozeh, yakriv bozeh l'chapora acheres. And yet you say that if it was lost, namely the let us say, for example, the Rosh Chodesh offering was lost, and it was found afterwards, you can use it for the holiday offering, the goat offering of a holiday, when you find it later on, before the next holiday, you can use it for the holiday offering. But if their atonement powers are different, Hein Kraven, how can they be offered? So we who hold Lev Bezin Masna Lehem, according to this particular suggestion in the Gemara, we can explain that even though Ein Kaporoson Shaveh, they can still be used on a subsequent holiday. But as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, that still would have to be explained. And he does. And he says, since they were all brought for temple atonement matters. But for our purposes, the Rabbonin of Omrulo would seem to hold Lev Besin Masnalem, which would explain that even though they have different atonement capacities, nevertheless, if it was not used for its original purpose, it can be used for an alternative purpose. So to that, we have a question. We're going to question this particular suggestion. The length of this question is indicated by a long question marking that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, extending, it's a vertical dashed line, indicating all the lines that are of the Gemara that are opposite this long marking constitute the question. Therefore, as we said, we suggested that the Rabbanan of the Omru Lo of the Mishnah, who were responding to Reb Shimon, those Rabbanan were holding an opinion that held that even though the sacrifices of the different time periods, namely the Rosh Chodesh versus the holiday versus Yom Kippur, they all had a different atonement capacity, if in the event that they're lost and subsequently found before the next time period. As an example, the Rosh Chodesh goat offering was found before the next holiday, that you could use it as the holiday offering. That ability would be premised on the idea of Lev Bezdin Maslam, that the original sanctity that the Rosh Chodesh offering had was conditional. The Gemara now asks, Mimai de Rabbi Huda he, who says that it is according to Rabbi Huda that the Omrulo was Rabbi Huda that held that their Kapora capacity was different. We wrote in above the line, the Isle Nami, that they hold as well, like Rabbi Shimon, Ein Kapora Son Shaveh, like Rabbi Shimon, to Rabbi Shimon. The Hochi Koamrile, and who is to say that it is Rabbi Huda? And thusly, Rabbi Huda said to Rabbi Shimon, Bishlamol Didi, De Amino Lev Bezin Masaleim. Well, it works out well according to me that holds that there is a conditional sanctification. Amtu Lahochi, and as a result of that, Yikrivu, the same offering that was designated for Rosh Chodesh can be offered on a subsequent holiday, even though they have different atonement capacities. But according to you, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that there is no Lev Bezdin Masnaleim, Amai Yikrivu, why is it that they can be offered on a subsequent holiday? All of this was an assumption that this is Shitas Rabbi Huda that holds Ein Kaporoson Shaveh, and therefore we had to come on to Lev Bezdin Masnaleim. Well, Dilma Rabbi Meir he, it could be that the Omrulo there on the in the mission of Beis Amid Beis was really Rabbi Meir, and the Hochi Ko Amrilei, and thusly Rabbi Meir, or the Rabbonon who represent Rabbi Meir, were saying to Hochi Ko Amrilei, thusly Rabbi Meir was saying to Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir and not Rabbi Huda. What was he saying? According to me, it works out well that all of the different sacrifices, the Rosh Chodesh, the holiday, the Yom Kippur offerings, all have the same atonement capacity. Mishum Hachi Yikruhu. That's the reason that if it's lost on one time period, it can be used during a subsequent time period. And not because of Lev Bezdin Masna Lehem. Therefore, if we're going to take this position that the Omrulo is really Rabbi Meir, so there's no, we haven't seen a shita, we haven't seen an opinion that will hold that tamidim shelo hutzrichu letzibur yivdu tamimim, based on Lev Bezdin Masna. This Omrulo is reflecting maybe Shitas Rabbi Meir, which holds that all of the different sacrifices have the same atonement capacity. And as the Gemara goes on to say, Mishum Hachi Yikrivu, and that's why if it's lost on Rosh Chodesh, it can be offered on the subsequent holiday? But according to you, Rabbi Shimon, why is it that if it's lost on Rosh Chodesh, it can be offered during a subsequent holiday? But at this point, we've come to the end of our long question, namely the Rabbonon that represent the Shita of Lev, Bezin, Masna, Lehem. That Rabbonon remains elusive. Who is it? Elo, Rabbi Yochanan Gemara Gomir Law. We're not going to find a source that says that represents this Shita explicitly, but rather Rabbi Yochanan has an oral tradition. We've included a star with an indicator, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, to denote where Rabbi Yochanan originally appeared, most recently appeared, and that is toward the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where you'll find also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text a parallel singular star with an indication, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Yochanan that appeared over there is now explained. Rabbi Yochanan has an oral tradition. That's Gemara Gomer Law. L'divrei Rabbi Shimon Einifdin. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Tamidim that were not needed for the Sibor are not redeemed Tamim without a Mum. L'divrei Chachomim Niftin. And according to the Chachomim, they can be redeemed even though no Mum developed. The Gemara asks, Ulu Rabbi Shimon Delesle Lev Bezin Masnaleim My Avdin Lahu. According to Rabbi Shimon, that does not hold from the conditional sanctification. What is done with Tamidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibor? You have in the Beis HaMikdash animals that were set aside for the design purpose of being used for the daily public sacrifice, and lo and behold, when the end of the fiscal year arrives, the end of Adar, now you're at the beginning of Nisan, and when you look in the corral that stored these animals, you'll notice a balance of animals, leftover animals that are now not going to be used. What do you do with them? Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Makitzin Bohen Es HaMizbeach. You will offer them as an Oilas Nidvas Tzibor. Similar to the Korban Tomid that was a Korban Ola, a public Korban Ola, though the Korban Tomid was a choivas tzibor. In the event that we don't use those animals as a korban tomid, as a choivas tzibor, they will be used for keitz hamizbeach. That's the expression mekitzin buenas hamizbeach, which means they're used as a korban oila, a nidvas tzibor. It's the same type of korban in the sense that they're both korban olas, the original korban tomid and this nidvas tzibor. They're both korban olas, which It's a type of korban that's completely consumed. It's completely, the entire body of the animal is burnt on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, the tomid was a chovas tzibor, and these will be used as a nidvas tzibor. A nidvas, the word nidava, indicating something that's not a requirement, like a daily requirement, or a requirement based on sin, but rather this is an optional korban tzibor, nidvas tzibor. At this point in the Gemara, we would like to glance at the side. We see at the outside margin, Nosei, Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who we've noted with a firebox, because this is going to preoccupy us for quite a bit of time in the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Leslei Lev Bezin Masna Lehem. Rabbi Shimon, that does the Leslei, that does not hold from this idea of Lev Bezin Masna Lehem, Tamidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibor, those daily public sacrifices that are not going to be used, makitzin bohenes mizbeach, they will be used for the mizbeach when it is in downtime. In other words, when the mizbeach is not requirement sacrifices are not being offered on the mizbeach, so as to prevent the mizbeach from looking like it's not in use, we will be offering these korbonos instead. We also have a section of Gemara that's bracketed off, and it's a rather long section. Before we read the title, the Nosei, let's just glance at the inside margin where we have the explanation of why there are brackets here. Sograim elu einom l'shem dilug. The purpose of these brackets are not for skipping purposes. Elo l'tachem, but rather to set boundaries around keta, a section she'inyono, whose topic is, whose subject is ha demoide Rabbi Shimon b'sirei chatos she'ein mekitzin begufon elo b'dmeyan. Acharei hasu. That means that Rabbi Shimon will agree that a Sirei Chatos, these are goat offerings that were designed to be a Korban Chatos, an atonement offering, they do not turn into a Ketzem Mizbeach, which was an Ola offering. Ella, rather, since you don't offer them themselves, the Sirei Chatos, the atonement goat offering, since you're not going to offer them themselves, in the event that they were not used, you're not going to offer them as Ketzem Mizbeach, as Ola offerings, Ella B'dmeyam, rather, their money value will be used. Achrei HaSograim, HaGemara Mevi'a Din, after the bracketed section, the Gemara will bring a law, She'ein Mekitzin Be'Ola Sa'of, that we don't offer Ola Sa'of, Ola bird offerings, as Ketz HaMizbeach. Now, let's glance at the topic heading, which is featured in the outside margin. We indicate Nosei B'Sograim, the Nosei that's in these angular brackets. By the way, the length of these angular brackets is indicated by a length marker, which is found to the to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a dotted vertical line. And this, you can see, extends till the upper part of Omid Beis. It just so happens that within this angular bracketed section, there will appear some standard brackets at the top of Yud Beis Omid Beis. Let's now turn to the bracketed section insofar as that these brackets are not for skipping purposes. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok Umoide Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who just before the brackets indicated that the Tamidim Shlutzul Tzibur are going to be used for Ketz HaMizbeach, he will concede B'Si'irei Chatos, that Chatos goat offerings that are found to be, that are not going to be used, She'ein Mekitzin Begufon Elo B'Dmeyan, that they themselves are not going to be offered on the Mizbeach as Korban Olos, but rather these Si'irei Chatos will be redeemed and their money will be used for purchasing Ketz HaMizbeach sacrifices. We should point out that the Sirei Chatos that are referred to here are things like the goat offerings of Rosh Chodesh. The Rashi points out across from here, Moide Rabbi Shimon b'Sirei Chatos sheniknu mitrumas halishkos shel shanazu. Sirei Chatos, these goat atonement offerings that were purchased with this year's finances, v'nisvasru, and the animals were left over. Kigon soyos Rosh Chodesh ador she'ovad. An example is the Rosh Chodesh goat offering that got lost, v'nimtza b'Nisan, and it was subsequently found during the new fiscal year, Nisan, the next month, which was the beginning of a new fiscal year, she'eno roi likrav oid l'choiv ha'tzibor. It cannot be brought anymore as a Rosh Chodesh offering, which is an obligatory offering that is an obligation upon the community, a communal, a tzibor requirement. Varei hu l'keit ha'mizbeach, and being that it's not useful anymore, it therefore would convert into a Ketz HaMizbeach type situation. Moidehu, Rabbi Shimon will concede Shein Mekitzin Begufo Likrav He Hu Ola, that it will not be offered itself as an Ola, namely that which was originally a Chatos Tzibor will not convert into an Ola. Elo Bedomov, rather the value of that animal will be used for Ketz HaMizbeach. And how is that accomplished? Shiyire, it will graze. Uchshiyumam, and when it develops an imperfection, imum, yikhu b'dom of oyla l'keitzam esbeach. They will then take the money from this now blemished animal and buy with it animals that will be used for keitzam esbeach. Okay, that having been said, let us now see the Gemara. We just mentioned in the Gemara that Rabbi Shimon was moda regarding the siri chatos, that they are not to be used themselves bodily, but rather their value. Now, why is that the case? In other words, why is this different than the case? Why are siri chatos different than the way we would treat the tamidim shalahutzuchu l'tzibur? The Gemara answers, Hocha, in the case of the tamidim shalahutzuchu l'tzibur, Hocha hu d'mei kora oyla v'hashta oyla. Originally, it was an ola offering, a completely consumed sacrifice, and now as Keitz HaMizbeach, it will also be used as an Olas Nidva Sibor, also an Ola. Avol Hosam, in the case of the Seirei Chatas Sibor, the Meikara Chatas, the Hashta Ola, originally they were designed to serve as an atonement offering, and now they convert into Keitz HaMizbeach, which is an Ola offering. We do not want you to use the animal itself. Why? We're imposing a restriction. Even though they received their atonement through another animal, but we don't want you using these otu lifnei kapora in anticipation of a case that you would actually use this chatas tzibor as an ola before achieving the atonement through another animal. And if that be the case, if you were to use the chatas tzibor before as an ola, before the tzibor achieve their atonement through another animal, then you're violating the design purpose of this animal. It was set aside to be a chatas tzibor. Now you're using it before they receive their kapara through another korban, and now you're using it as an ola. So as to preempt this situation, we will restrict the chatas tzibor from being used as keitz hamizbeach, namely an ola, even after the tzibor achieve their atonement through another animal. Omar Abaye, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have a series marking, a geometric form. We'll call it this the crown form. It's explained in the outside margin under the heading Mivne. Amoroim Shemavim Siwa Lehanal. We will see Amoroim that will bring support for that which we just said, that we're not going to offer as Keitz HaMizbeach the Chatos that was left over, that wasn't used, even though we will use their money for that purpose, their money value. We've also, with the series marking, indicated with a double underline the expression Af Anan Namin Tanina, namely, we have also learned in a Tanaic source this principle. Omar Abaye. We also have included with Abaye a long point marking that you can see the Nun that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, a Nekuda, a long point. Omar Abaye Af Anan Namin Tanina. We have learned likewise in a Tanaic source that according to Rabbi Shimon, that says that according to Rabbi Shimon, Ein Mekitzin, we've written in above the Rabbi Shimon, the Ein Mekitzin Begufe Chatois Shinisvasru, the Af Shemakitzin Bedemehen. Even though we are going to use their money value, we wouldn't use the animals themselves as Keitz HaMizbeach, namely the Chatos Tzibor. The source begins. Par v'soyer shiyom kippurim she'avdu v'hifrish acherim tachteim. These animals, the cow offering, the Kohen Gadol's cow offering, and the goat offering of the communal goat offering of Yom Kippur that got lost, and others were set aside in their stead. V'chein sirei avodah zarah she'avdu v'hifrish acherim tachteim. Likewise, if the public violated idolatry and those animals, the chatas tzibor for avodah zarah, got lost, and others were set aside in their stead. And now you found the original animals, kulon yabusu divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they all, the now found animals, will all die. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, and we've dashed on Rabbi Shimon because he's the focus of our discussion. They say Yiru ad shiyistavu v'yimkaru v'yiplu d'mayim l'nedava. They will graze until yistavu means develop a mum. Then they're sold, and the monies that you fetch from their sales will be used for non-obligatory public offerings. She'ein chatos tzibor mesa. The reason for their ruling that they graze and argue with Rebbe Yehuda is because they hold public offerings are not deemed to die. We have a note to glance at Rashi. You'll notice at the first of the wide lines under the Gemara text, a double asterisk. Uman shamis le de Omar ein chatas tzibur mesa. Rabbi Shimon, we see Rabbi Shimon holding ein chatas tzibur mesa. That's Rabbi Shimon. The Komar, and he holds yire. He says it's set out to graze. The lo Komar yikrav le nedava, and he does not say that it's offered as a nedava offering. The chol yiplu l'nedava, the gomer Rabbi Shimon, the chol duchta, wherever Rabbi Shimon uses the expression yiplu l'nedava, leketz hamizbeachu, it's used for those non-obligatory public sacrifices that we call ketz hamizbeach. The Gemara now points this out. Ve'amai, why is it that we say it grazes, it's set out to graze and you buy other korbonos with the money? Nikrivu inhu gufayu ola. Why not offer these chatos offerings as public ola offerings, which we call ketz hamizbeach? Elolav. Rather, we must conclude shma mino gzera liachar kapora otu lifnei kapora, that we don't want you using these atonement offerings, even though the atonement was achieved through replacement korbanos. In anticipation, we don't want you using these after Kapar, in anticipation of their being used prior, that's Lifnei Kapar, prior to the atonement being achieved, and then you would be in real violation of their identity. Namely, they were set aside to be used as Chatas offerings, and then you would be using them as Ola offerings. So, in anticipation of that worst case scenario, we forbid their being used under all circumstances as Kate Samizbeas as Ola offerings. Omar Rovo Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have this principle featured in the following source as well. The source describes a case of the Yom Kippur goat offerings. We have a Soyer Hanase Bifnim and a Soyer Hamishtaleach. The Sar Mishlech was the goat offering that was sent out to a cliff and pushed over, and with its death there was atonement for the sins of Klal Yisrael. In the event that the Mishtaleach, the animal set aside to be sent out, it never got sent out because it died, so there was need to bring a new pair of animals, and one would serve as the replacement for the Mishtaleach, and the other one would be in effect a second Soyer Lashem. In other words, you would have two Soyer Lashems sitting in front of you. So the source says V'hasheni, the second Soyer Lashem that you obviously are not going to be using, Yireh, it will go out, it is ruled that it goes out to graze achi soif until it develops a mum, a blemish, the yimocher, the yiplu domov linadova, and it's after it's sold, its value will then be used to purchase korban olas for as nidvas sibor, as voluntary public offerings. The amai, why is that the procedure? Yikrav ihu gufei ola. Why not use the second soyer lashem itself as an ola? Why do you go through the selling process? And yet we don't do that. We therefore can conclude gizera achar kapora otu lifnei kapora, that we see from here that the halacha makes a restriction in using them themselves as a korban ola, even though they already achieved kapora through a replacement animal, in anticipation of using them as an ola before kapara before atonement was achieved with some replacement animal, and then you would be, as we said before, in true violation of this korban's identity. Once again, it is a chatas, and then you would be using it as an ola. Omar Ravino, Af Anan Nami Tanino, and he brings a source to show, a Tanaic source to show this concept of Gzero Liacha Kapora, Otu Lifnei Kapora. Omar Ravino, Af Anan Nami Tanino, Osham Shemesu Bolov, Oi Shiniskabru Bolov. If you have a Korban Osham, another type of atonement offering, the Korban Osham, whose owner died, or the owner achieved atonement through some other animal. What about this one that now is not going to be used? This korban osham that's not going to be used. It is deemed to need grazing till it develops a blemish, and its money it will be used for nedava purposes. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yomus, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yovi Bedomov Oila. The last opinion, that of Rabbi Yoshua, or other Gersos have Rebbe Lozer, says that you bring with its money value a korban ola. Now, for likrav hu gufei ola, why not use this osham as itself an ola? Elolav, rather, we must conclude, gizero liacha kapora, otu lifnei kapora, shma mino. We see from here conclusive evidence that we impose a restriction on using the animal itself, even though kapara, atonement may have been achieved through another creature, another animal, a replacement animal. That's, as is the case of Niskapu Bolov, they receive their atonement through another animal. Don't use this animal itself as an ola, otu lifnei kapara, in anticipation of using it as an ola even before the owner received his atonement through some other animal, when you would be, as we have said already a few times, in true violation of this Osham's identity, whereby you're taking an Osham and using it as an Ola. Shma mina. This is conclusive. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that suggests likewise that the Mosoros L'Rabbi Shimon, those animals that were left over from the previous fiscal year, Makitzin Bohenes HaMizbeach, the Tamidim Shalahutzruchu L'Tzibur, will be used for Keitz HaMizbeach. And the source begins, Mahein Mavien Min HaMosoros. What do we bring from those animals? What do we use or do with those animals that were left over from one year to the next? So that's the question here, Mahein Mavien Min HaMosoros. Answer, Keitz, or Kayitz. Kibinos Shuach, let us skip momentarily the brackets, Kibinos Shuach Le'odom. The word kates, the Gemara will point out, or the word kates with regard to the mizbeach is like a form of dessert for man. Benos shuach are a type of fig that were left out to dry, and that's what the word kates means. It's a type. It's a reference to figs. Figs, and we skipping the brackets, like figs are for man, meaning that when the basic meal of the Mizbeach is finished, namely the obligatory offerings of the Mizbeach are completed, are finished, and the Mizbeach seems to have downtime, we bring it dessert, so to speak. We bring these non-obligatory offerings afterwards. Let's now reread the Gemara. We have this bracketed section because in the brackets we have the Gemara raising a technical objection to what was said, and its correction. But the way we read the Gemara, by skipping the brackets, we're in effect reading it after the correction took place. So the Gemara from the top says, we said we use the Mosoros as kayetz, kibinos shuach lemizbeach, as one would bring figs on the altar. The Gemara asks, how can you bring figs on the altar? V'haksiv ki chol sa'or v'chol dvash v'chulei. The pasuk indicates that all fruits are not to be brought on the mizbeach. That sor is sourdough, and dvash is a reference to all kinds of fruits, as Rashi points out. they're not to be brought on the Mizbeach. So how can you say Kevinos Shuach La Mizbeach? Tani Rav Hanina. So Rav Hanina explains, corrects, and says, "Kibenos shuach le'odom." In other words, just like a man, after he finished his main meal, will indulge in figs as dessert, so too the mizbeach, after it finishes its main meal, so to speak, the obligatory offerings, these will be brought as its dessert. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new topic, the nosei, the topic heading that we offer on the side. Ein mekitzin ba'olas ha'oif, that we do not use an ola as the non-obligatory ketz hamizbeach offering. We do not buy with the funds that we mentioned before, when an animal itself would not be used as the ketz hamizbeach. We would wait till it gets a mum and then buy a non-obligatory public offering and use it as ketz hamizbeach, a korban ola as ketz hamizbeach. You would not buy with those monies a bird offering and offer it as an ola. Darash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, ein mekitzin be'olas ha'oif. When we use the monies, let us say, from a lost osham offering, as we saw on Omid Aleph, and the animal is set out to graze and develop until it develops a blemish, and then you would use the money for buying a korban ola, which we described as ketz hamizbeach. You're not going to buy an olas ha'oif. Omar Rava, upon hearing Rav Nachman Rav Chisda's statement, Rav Nachman says, ha burcha, this is something that you invented. Omale Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, notice with our markings we've pointed out there, even though we have two rabbis called named Rav Nachman, they're different people. One is the son of Rav Chisda, and this one is Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok interjects and says, "Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok le Rava, my burchasa. Why are you referring to this halacha, namely Ein Mekitzin be'olas ha'oif, as some kind of made-up halacha, some kind of joke? Hano amriso ni ale." I said it over. I, Rav Nachman Yitzchok, said it over to Rav Nachman Rav Chisda, umishmei de Rav Simi Minardo Amrisoni Ale, and in the name of this great authority, Rav Simi, in his name I said over this halacha. The Amr Rav Simi Minardo, Moisoros Sibor Asli, the funds that are left over for a Nidvas Sibor, for the Korban Ola that we are going to bring as Ketz HaMizbeach, the Mosaros are going to be used as Nidva Sibor. They ain't Olas Oif but Sibor. However, the Olas Oif is not going to be brought for Ketz HaMizbeach. And what's indicated here is that we don't find a bird offering as part of a Korban Sibor. And since the public doesn't bring bird offerings, you're not going to use you're not going to use the leftover funds or the funds of those leftover animals for the purchase of an oaf, a bird offering, which is never brought as a korban sibur anyway. The Af Shmuel Savar Leha de Rabbi Yochanan. We find Shmuel holding like Rabbi Yochanan that said before that Tamidim Shalohutsuchu. We say there's no leiv bezin masnaleim, and rather they are used as ketz hamizbeach. The animals themselves are offered, and they don't need to go out and graze. So that which we saw in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel holds the same way. The Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, korbonos tzibor, public sacrifices, sakin, a knife, the shechita knife, Moishchosan lema shehen, draws them to what they need to be. Let's take a look at Rashi. Sakin moishchosan lema shehen, sakin hashochton stam, the knife that slaughters them with a non-specific mindset. Moishchosan lekorban shehufrush mitchilu lekach. It draws the knife, so to speak, draws it to that for which it was designated at the outset. V'afilu ein ze oisoi korban atzmoi. Even if it's not the very exact original korban for which it was set aside. We could go in oilas tamid. The example being in oilas tamid. Oilas, olola keitz. It will take upon itself the identity of keitz mizbeach im eino roi l'tamid. If it's not fit for a tamid, it will become keitz hamizbeach. So that's the idea that the sakin, the mere slaughtering of it, will help designate it for that which it is fit. Tanyo nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source. The Rashi points out, Moide Rabbi Shimon, across from here there is a Rashi, Umaskono de Taimo, Shemitchiloso lo bo elo lechaper al mizbeach achitzon. We're going to be seeing a reference to an animal that originally was brought to offer atonement on the outside mizbeach, the mizbeach of the Azara. Almo ahohu de kapdina. It is upon this facet or this detail that we are concerned. Sheyikrav al mizbeach achitzon lechaper. Miktsas davar shehukdash lo. As long as what it's being used for now has some elements of that which it originally was designed for. Chatos the Tumas Mikdosh, Tikrav the Tumas Mikdosh. An atonement offering that was brought originally for Tumas Mikdosh, to atone for impurity as with regard to the Beis HaMikdosh, can now also be used for Tumas Mikdash. V'yafapi she'ein kaparoson shoveh. Even though, as we've seen in previous discussions, the nature of the Rosh Chodesh offering is different than the nature of the holiday offering. In other words, Rosh Chodesh would offer atonement for one aspect, and the holiday offering would offer atonement for another aspect of Tumas Mikdash. But the lost Rosh Chodesh offering can be brought on a holiday because they have this element in common that even though specific they differ with regard to specific areas of atonement, they have in common Tumas Mikdash. Hochanami Lo'ola Shehukdash Lo'ola Yikrav. So too in the case that we will see now in the Brisa, as far as our not the Brisa, but as far as our discussion itself, if something was set aside as a Tumid and not use, the Tumid being an Ola, it will convert into a Keitz HaMizbeach offering, which is also an Ola, even though the original designation was a Chovas Tzibor, and now it is a Nidvas Tzibor. Nevertheless, they had in common the fact that they were both Olas. Let's now see the source that bears this out. Tanya nami hachi umoide Rabbi Shimon b'soyer shimlo korav b'regel yikrav b'rosh chodesh. Rabbi Shimon will concede that if the soyer, even though their kapora is different, that for which they atone is different, nevertheless he will concede that if it wasn't used during the holiday, it can be used. For example, it was lost, it can be used as the Rosh Chodesh Soyer. V'im lo korav Rosh Chodesh yikrav v'yom kippurim. And if it wasn't used on Rosh Chodesh, it can be offered on Yom Kippur. V'im lo korav v'yom kippurim yikrav v'regel. V'im lo yikrav v'regel ze yikrav v'regel acher. As we see, if it's not used for what it originally was designated for, it can convert to being used for a subsequent specific time. Shemitchiloso lo bo elo lechaper al mizbeach hachitzon. Originally, it was designated to be offered on the Azora mizbeach, the mizbeach in the temple courtyard, and now it too will be used as a sacrifice in the temple courtyard. And being that they have that in common, that enables it to be switched from one to the other. Similarly, with regard to what Rabbi Yochanan spoke about, and hence Shmuel says the same thing, that Tamidim Shalohu Shechu Letzibor, those were the public Ola offerings, can convert into a public non-obligatory Ola offering, namely Keitz HaMizbeach. This was all encapsulated in the rather brief comment of Shmuel that said that Korban Sibor Sakin Moishchoson Lemashehen, that a Korban Sibor that is not going to be used for what it originally was used for, the mere slaughtering of it will help designate it for what it can be used for alternatively. And we saw that it already explained in the Rashi, that even though it's not being used as its original designation, for example, the Oilas Tamid, it can be used as an Ola L'Keitz HaMizbeach. V'al Zodoin Tumas Mikdosh V'Kodoshav Soyer HaNase B'Fnim V'Chulei. Minohani Mili, the Tonu Rabbanan. Before we go further, let's glance at the topic heading we see in the outside margin, the Nosei. Mokor, the Soyer Pnimish Yom Kippur, Mechaper al Zodoin Tumas Mikdosh V'Kodoshav. We're going to be looking for a source that says that the internal goat offering of Yom Kippur, namely that goat offering whose blood was sprinkled in the Holy of Holies in the Kodesh HaKodashim, offers atonement for someone who violated knowingly the issue of Tumas Mikdash VeKodashav. Mino Hani Mili Detanu Rabbanan. V'chiper al HaKodesh Mitumois B'nei Yisrael. And the pasuk goes on to say, Umipishehem L'chol Chatosam. This is a pasuk that's stated in the context of the internal goat offering of Yom Kippur. It says that it offers atonement for Tumos B'nei Yisrael, Mipishehem L'chol Chatosam. The Gemara explains, Pshoyim Elu Hamardim. These are offenses that are done knowingly with a rebellious intention. In other words, a knowing violation. V'cheinu Omer Melech Mo Posha Bi. The Omer Oz Tifsha Livno Ve'esahi. We see in these psukim the word Pesha being used, and it's known from their context that we're dealing with willingness or a feeling of rebelliousness. Chatos Helu Hashgogos. Those are violations done unwittingly. V'chein hu omer nefesh ki sechata bishgogos. You see in this pasuk the term techata used in conjunction with shgoga. So chatos is a reference to that which is done unknowingly. We see from here the point we were looking for, that the internal goat offering of Yom Kippur has an atonement capacity even for those types of violations done knowingly. Al shar averos shebetorah hakalos v'chamuros hazdoinos v'ashgogos v'chulei. The Gemara asks, as far as this list is concerned, we seem to see redundancy. Before we actually read the Gemara, let's glance at the topic heading we have on the outside margin, the Nosei. Pirush divrei hamishnah. The explanation of the words of the Mishnah of Tikotoni, Al Shar Averus Shebatura, Hakalos Vachamros, Ase Velosase, Lechora Mashma Tahavi Kfilus. So let's see now in the Gemara. Hainu Kalos, Hainu Ase Velosase. Once the Mishnah refers to atonement for the light type offenses, the term light offenses would seem to include already the concept of a violation of ase and lo sase, positive commands and negative commands that don't carry with it a death penalty or kores penalty. So why, after mentioning kalos, does the Mishnah go on to seemingly repeat itself by enumerating ase and lo sase? Likewise, chamuros, hainu krisus misus beisdin. Once you say that there's atonement for chamuros, I already would understand that that's a reference to those types of violations that are punishable by kores and death. Hoda, hainu mezid. Hoda is something done with knowledge. That's what the term mezid means. So why use both of them in the Mishnah? Likewise, lo hoda, hainu shogeg. Omar Rav Yehuda, hochi komar. Rav Yehuda explains that thusly we should understand the Mishnah. And before we go on, just let us glance at Rashi Yom Rav Yehuda. Sefer de Masnisin, the second part of the Mishnah, Mifrisha Le L'Resha, explains the earlier part, V'kulu Pirush de Kalos V'Chamuros, that once the Mishnah opens up and says that there's atonement for Kalos and Chamuros, the rest of the Mishnah goes on to explain what is included. Hochi Komar, Al Shara Veir Shibatura, Bein kalos, bein chamuros. Bein shason b'shogeg, bein shason b'mezid. With regard to other offenses, whether they be light or heavy, whether he did them knowingly, whether he did them unknowingly or knowingly. Oisan shason b'shogeg, those that he did b'shogeg, bein noda lo sveikon, bein lo noda lo sveikon, whether the doubt became known to him or it did not become known to him. The elu hein kalos. And the following are classified as kalos, ase, velos ase. The elu hein chamuros, krisos, umisos, bezdin. And that which is classified as chamuros include those punishable by kores or death. Let us glance at the Rashi that says, "Bein kishason b'shogeg, hai shogeg d'hocha, leka lefrushi elo b'dover she'ein shigigoso chatos elo osham toli." The term shogeg over here, when the source says "bein shason b'shogeg," that is a reference to situations of offense that require an osham tolui korban, namely, not someone who, let us say, ate something that was known to be dam, as an example, or chelev, which, though he ate it by mistake, since it was known to be dam, he would bring a korban chatas. We're not talking about that over here. When it says here, bein kishason b'shogeg, it's a reference to something that he would have to bring an osham toli for. Kigon, ochal achas mishtei chatichos. He ate one of two pieces of meat, one of which was forbidden, the other allowed, and he simply didn't know which one he ate. So regarding that situation, we say whether the suffolk became known to him, Rashi says, "Bein shenoda lo sfeikon, shenoda lo shebo lidei sofek chelev." It became known to him that he ate something that was possibly forbidden. Bein shelo noda lo lifnei yom kippur she'ochal sofek chelev, or a situation where before Yom Kippur he did not. It was not known to him that he ate something that was a possible chelev. Nevertheless, ein tzorach lo bi'achar yom kippurim osham tolui. What the mission is telling us is that he will not have to bring after Yom Kippur the Osham Toli sacrifice. Continuing in the Gemara, Hai Asei Hechidomi. The Mishnah tells us that Yom Kippur atones for someone who violated an Asei. What are the circumstances? Before we go further, let's glance at the side. We have a Nosei Kloli, a heading indicating a general topic until Ad Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Koach HaKapora Shel Yom Kippur, the strength of atonement that Yom Kippur offers. Klomer Alma Mechaper Yom Kippur, concerning what does Yom Kippur offer atonement? Rak B'Sha'osa Tshuva, is it only if he did penitence? Afilu Shelo Osa Tshuva, or even if he didn't do penitence. So let us see the Gemara. Hai asei hechidomi. What are the circumstances behind the asei violation concerning which Yom Kippur atones? Idolo avachuva, if he did not actually practice penitence. Well, how in the world can Yom Kippur offer atonement? Zevach rishoyim toyeva. How can the sacrifices offered on Yom Kippur atone for him when he didn't do penitence? He would be, under such circumstances, we would classify him as a Rosha, and we know that the sacrifices of the evil are considered abominable. And if he actually did practice penitence, what do you need Yom Kippur for? Kol Yumanami, there would be nothing special about Yom Kippur. Desanya, Ovar al Mitzvah Asay, the Osa Tshuva, if a person violated an Asay, which we've dashed underlined because that is the topic we're talking about right now. If a person violated mitzvah and he then did penitence, lo zoz misham ad shemochan lo, he doesn't leave his position until he receives forgiveness. Namely, that whenever a person does is in a violation of an asay and he does tshuva, he gets penitence. He doesn't have to wait for Yom Kippur.
So the question is, what is it about an aseh that we need Yom Kippur to offer atonement? Omar Rebbe Zera, the Oimeid Bemerdo. We're in fact talking about someone who did not do tshuva. He's still rebellious. And you'll ask, what about Zevach Rishoyin Ta'eva? So to that we answer, V'Rebbe He. And this conforms to the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe who holds that Yom Kippur has the power to atone even if no tshuva was done. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.